Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey there, welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Thanks for tuning in here on Energy Talk Radio. I hope you're having a great day, night, or whatever it is when you're listening. This is actually, although we're already a couple weeks into the new year, the day we're taping this show, it's actually my first show since the new year. So I'm saying to myself and to you, Happy New Year. Hope 2010 is already off to a great start for you. And I'm really excited about today's show and today's guest. It's an honor for me. I'll let you know a little bit about our guest. She's a good friend of mine and a fantastic speaker and author and consultant. And Lisa Earle McLeod is a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, business consultant, and inspirational thought leader whose work has been seen in the New York Times, O, the Oprah Magazine, on the Huffington Post, and in the Wall Street Journal. She's the author of Forget Perfect, which is a fantastic book, and a repeat guest on Good Morning America, among many others. Lisa speaks internationally and has been seen everywhere from town halls to major corporations. She and her husband and her two children live in Atlanta. So that's a little bit about her professionally. I'll tell you a little bit about her personally, and you'll find this out here in just a moment when I bring her on. Lisa is and has become a very, very dear friend of mine. We met a few years back and has been such a great supporter of mine, has been such a great mentor. I've learned a lot about writing and about media and about so many things related to the business of being an author from Lisa. She's really helped me and mentored me and taught me so many things in a very generous way, which just says a lot about the kind of human being that she is. And she happens to also be hilarious and one of the best writers I know. So I'm really honored to welcome Lisa McLeod here to Let's Get Real. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, well, I'm real interested to hear what this person you just described has to say. It's always interesting to hear about her.
Yes, well, now you have to live up to all of that and much more. So no pressure or anything. So now we're going to talk today about Lisa's brand new book, which just came out. And you're going to want to pick up lots of copies of this for yourself, for the people you work with, for your friends and family. It's called The Triangle of Truth. And the subtitle is The Surprisingly Simple Secret to Resolving Conflicts, Large and Small. So I just love the book. I love the title. I love the whole concept because it so fits in with so many things that are important to me and everyone who listens to this show. So Lisa, tell us, for those who haven't yet picked up lots of copies of this, although I know many will as soon as they hear us talk about it.
If you're not among the tens of thousands who rush to the bookstore on the first day.
That's right. Well, it's only been out for like a week and a half here.
Yeah.
But so tell us, what is the I was talking to my assistant about this yesterday, and when I mentioned the title, she's like, ooh, and she started speculating on what the Triangle of Truth was. So I said,
the Triangle of Truth was. Well, the idea came out of sex, business, politics, and religion. So I'll tell you that.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, nothing like a big mess. The idea of the Triangle of Truth is we tend to view conflict or disagreements like a straight line, where your side is on one side of the line, my side's on the other, and traditional wisdom says we should compromise. We should meet in the middle. That's what we say we should do in relationships. That's what we say we should do in politics. We just need to compromise. Mm. And I taught negotiating skills for many, many years, and I also taught selling skills, and that was always kind of this meet-in-the-middle model.
Right.
But what I found over time, it doesn't work.
Right.
It never works because we don't want to compromise, and the reason that I shouldn't have to compromise is because I'm right. And why should I compromise if I'm the one that's right?
Right.
And if you talk to anyone who has made compromises, be it like in a business turf war, you know, you get into, oh, no, we need the budget here. No, we need it over here. Talk to anyone who's compromised over a long period of time or even sometimes just once in a relationship or in a business, And they're very resentful.
Yes.
And over time, it breeds contempt.
Yes.
And so what I realized is there has to be another way. And so the triangle of truth says that your truth is on one side of the line, my truth is on the other side. And instead of meeting in the middle, we need to create a higher level solution at the top of the triangle, if you will, that supports us both.
Oh.
And so I had this idea, and where I got it was actually I got it watching the 2004 election, where I was Bush Kerry is a really polarizing election. And
yes.
I had the odd situation of being part of a very conservative community and a very liberal community. And they both considered me one of them.
Really?
And they talked about those crazies on the other side.
Interesting.
And now, so that was very, very interesting to watch them talk about those people who had no values, who were going to send our country into ruin,
yeah.
who didn't care about the future. And just to hear them both say, for the most part, the same awful things about each other.
Right.
And so I saw this pattern showing up there, and it was really dramatic. But I realized this pattern of either or thinking, I'm right, so you must be wrong. I thought, oh my gosh, that's what shows up in my sales training. When I can't help the salespeople and I struggle to help the salespeople, see, you got to focus on the customer and it feels like giving up on your own agenda.
Right.
That's what people write me letters about in these relationship, this relationship column that I do. Oh my gosh, you won't believe my husband. He thinks he's right about everything. Meanwhile, I get a letter from the same city. You won't believe my wife. She thinks she's
right.
Yeah. And so I realized there was this pattern. And one of the things that I finally realized is the only way to solve the problem, you have to get out of this either-or way of thinking, and you have to embrace and. And there are six principles in the book, and that's the first one, embrace and.
Right.
But the way that you do that is you have to take the solutions off the table.
Really?
Because when you and I are fighting about solutions, say you're in accounting and I'm in sales, and you think that I should have to get approval for everything over $2.
Right.
And I think I shouldn't have to get approval for anything ever.
Right.
We're arguing about solutions. But the core truth is, if you're the accounting guy, you want a fiscal responsibility. Now, how am I going to argue with that? That's the truth. The core truth on the sales side is, I want the flexibility to pursue new business. But what happens is, we get so attached to our solution, and we argue solutions. And it never works.
Yeah. Well, because then, I mean, it sounds like then we're still stuck in that same righteous place of I'm right, you're wrong, and then nobody wins.
Right. And our solutions are often in conflict. But if we can step back from that, one of the things I realized when I was researching the book, and it took me a while to write, and one of the reasons why it took a while was I wanted to include a lot of examples from a lot of different worlds. First, I was thinking, oh, is this a business book? Well, there's a lot of business applications. I'm a business consultant. Then is, oh, is it a self-help book? Well, it's got all these personal implications. And so I really wanted to show people how the thought pattern shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So I had to include a lot of different examples, everything from the crazy neighbor to the judgmental in-law. But one of the things I found was this ability to hold two seemingly conflicting ideas in your mind at the same time and put them together. So thinking about the triangle, the left side and the right side, put them together to the top of the triangle in a way that makes their whole greater than the sum of their parts has actually been the invisible underpinning of greatness in so many situations.
Really?
This combining of two ideas. It was what our country was founded on, freedom and responsibility, which are two frequently seemingly to be competing ideas.
Yeah.
Elvis did it when he combined country with gospel. Einstein did it with science and religion. Mary Kay did it when she combined selling and nurturing. Apple Computer does it when they combine creativity and discipline. So this idea of combining two seemingly conflicting ideas is actually the catalyst for greatness.
Wow.
Or it can be what makes us crazy and call out each other's throats, just depending on how you work it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Let's Get Real here on Energy Talk Radio. We're talking to author, business consultant, syndicated columnist Lisa Earle McLeod about her brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. And for those of you in front of your computer, which most of you are listening to this, or even on your iPhone, you can go to triangleoftruth.com. And see more about Lisa and her work in this brand new book. And, you know, Lisa, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. When we come back, Let's talk more about how this applies in business, in work, because so many of us, a lot of the place where we deal with conflict and things get frustrating and annoying and people are different and not like us and all that stuff is really in our professional lives. So we'll get more deep into that with all the work you do with organizations and business people. And we'll talk about that right when we come back.
Thanks for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to listen to any show on demand, please go to our shows page, find the program you're looking for, and click on the View All Shows button. There you can play any show on any device that plays MP3s. We hope you enjoy this convenient feature, knowing that you're making a difference just by listening.
Tune in to Life Without Limitation with Mark and Dea, where we explore stories of miracles, wellness, prosperity, and enlightenment through sound meditation and transformational thought processes. The show is based on the teachings of spiritual leader Dattatreya Shiva Baba, the YouTube guru who inspired best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer to write Manifest Your Destiny. The show is hosted by Mark and Dea, who experienced miraculous recovery from HIV and AIDS over 7 years ago and survived a major heart procedure without anesthesia through meditations taught to him by Dattatreya Shiva Baba. Experience a life without limitation here on Energy Talk Radio.
And now more of Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins.
Hey there, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in here to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, on Energy Talk Radio. And I'm fired up. David, good work. David's the engineer here in the studio. We've got some extra Stevie Wonder going in between
segments. For you.
I love it.
Happy New Year present.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite sayings, my sister said this years ago, that I'd love to live my life the way I feel when I'm listening to Stevie Wonder. So anyway, I just thought I would say that. We've been having a great conversation with my good friend and author, speaker, business consultant, Lisa Earl McLeod, about her brand new fabulous book, The Triangle of Truth. And if you go to triangleoftruth.com, you can check out more about the book and about Lisa. And this is one of those books that is not only well-written, and it's very well-written. Lisa's one of my favorite authors in terms of just the way she encapsulates things, both clear and bold, but funny and, you know, very insightful about how we operate as human beings, but very prescriptive in terms of being able to take tangible ideas from this book and use them practically in your life. And specifically, as we were talking about before the break, in our professional lives, in the business world. Lisa, you do a lot of speaking and consulting and training in the business world, I know, with lots of different big companies, small companies, all across the board and around the country. How does this relate specifically in business?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we like to think that our personal lives and our professional lives are two completely different things.
Right.
But we take the same brain everywhere we go.
Really?
Yeah, it's shocking. And what I realized is, you know, in your personal life, a lot of times the filters are off, and we've all experienced conflict in our personal lives, and the crazy mother-in-law, and the judgmental neighbor, and the spouse who won't, you know, do everything we want them to do by reading our mind. And what happens is the filters are off in our personal life, and so it feels like we engage in conflict. But in our professional life, the exact same thing happens. And what I finally realized is, you know, I was talking before the break about how bringing together conflicting perspectives is actually the catalyst for greatness. It's what starts great companies. It's at the root of great communities. It's at the root of great families, because homogeneous and everyone thinking alike will doom your community or your business to fail. And so what I realized from a business perspective, because, I mean, how many times have we been part of, and I'll give you two examples of organizations I've been part of, where if you've been part of a creative organization like an ad agency, there's never a shortage of good ideas.
Right.
There tend to be a shortage of people that can execute them in a timely manner and get them done on time. Yet you bring in some taskmaster project manager and everyone gets all annoyed at them.
Right.
But actually, the successful organizations are the ones that are able to assimilate these seemingly competing perspectives. And one place where it really shows up, I've done a lot of work in sales over the years, and I've actually done several studies of salespeople. And when you think about it in terms of a classic my agenda and your agenda situation, that's sales. And a lot of people think of sales as sleazy and manipulative and all that, but that's only the people who are bad at sales. They're giving the rest of the good salespeople a bad name. You know, I mean, you've been in sales, and the whole notion of, if I have an agenda and I want other people to go along with me, whether the agenda is to get my kids all on board with the let's pick up the house before grandma comes program, or whether the agenda is I think I should get more of the budget, your interpersonal selling skills are going to be what determines whether you accomplish that or not. And so one of the things that I noticed with salespeople is when we train salespeople, we tend to spend a lot of time on teaching them questioning skills, and here's how you prospect, and here's how you present our stuff. And those types of skills will take a poor salesperson and turn them into a good salesperson. You know, here's the model you follow when you make calls, that type of thing. But what I noticed is the difference between a good salesperson and a superstar is actually much more subtle and much more nuanced, and it has to do with the way that they think. You know, the difference between a poor salesperson and a good salesperson is usually real measurable things, like number of calls, you know, number of leads in the pipeline. But the superstars of salespeople, those are the people that we can really learn from, because the difference in those people is, and we've all been called on, if not in a business, in our personal lives, we've all seen the salesperson who's single-mindedly focused on closing the sale, the car lot, the wherever it is. And sometimes they can be fairly personable and effective, but we know from the moment that interaction starts that it's all about them.
Right.
And it's all about them getting the deal. But the thing that the superstars do is, you know, back to the triangle of truth model, they are able to seamlessly integrate their agenda and the customer's agenda.
Right.
And it just feels almost effortless. And after years of studying them, I finally realized they have a subtly different approach. The good salespeople that are just pretty good, they want to close the business, want to make their quota, want to get their way, just like the good spouse or the good manager. They want to, I want it to go this way. They're very, very attached.
Yes.
To things playing out a certain way. And if they're skilled, oftentimes they do. But the superstars are not attached to everything going a certain way, but extremely attached to creating success for everyone. But they're not attached to what that looks like.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it sounds like there's an authentic interest in not only pretending like they care, but actually caring.
But here's the thing that is fascinating, because people think, well, it feels fake to pretend like you care when you don't. But in the people I studied and I trained in the model, if you pretend like you care enough times, and it's not even very many times, then you do care.
Really? So it's there's a fake it till you make it aspect to it?
Yes, completely. And well, so one of the principles of the triangle of truth is to hold a space for the other person's perspective.
Right.
And so the thing for me was to really, well, one of the things we do in our training programs is to really show them why this makes you more powerful. Because I could stand up there and go, you need to listen more. You need to pay attention to their needs. And that just sounds like your mother or your Sunday school teacher yammering
right.
at you.
Yeah.
Which I am both, so I no surprise.
Okay, good. Well, as long as we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, if someone's listening though, Lisa, who, you know, and there's people all across who listen to our show here who, you know, work for big organizations, work for themselves, work for small nonprofit organizations, work, you know, a lot of people maybe even out of work right now. But if someone's listening right now and thinks to themselves, wow, you know, in the organization where I work, the place where I go to work, gosh, there's a lot of conflict or, God, you know, whether I'm in sales or in anything else. So when they call you, you know, and I know, I mean, you've worked with big companies like Apple and like Best Buy or Deloitte or, you know, and you've worked with lots of other types of organizations, smaller organizations or even, you know, government agencies, nonprofits. What can you provide for them? What can you offer to them specifically as it relates to this?
Well, one of the things thank you for teeing me up so beautifully mm-hmm. to talk about myself. Gee, who doesn't want to do more of that at my company? But just so we're clear here. But one of the things, so I wrote this book, and as you know, in the publishing industry, the book just came out about a week ago, but that means I finished it several months ago.
Right.
And so one of the things that I knew when I created this was the Triangle of Truth is a very easy to understand model. I like to think that the book is humorous and it gives you lots of instruction how to do it.
Yes, it is.
But I realized if I'm going to do a training for a company, I don't want to just stand up there, you know, clicking away at a PowerPoint and go do this, do this, do this. So what we did was we created what we call a simulation. Where we've been in beta testing and we've just launched them. We launched them with this division of Kodak and we were so excited about it that enables people to come in and actually play through different scenarios. They work together on a learning mat if you are familiar with any of these business simulations.
Sure.
And so it's really that experiential adult self-discovery learning, which, oh, by the way, harkens back to Montessori school for people who know that.
Yes.
But so a lot of the work that I do is because I had been doing a lot of keynotes and I still do that. And there's some real value, I think, to hearing a new message and a new way of thinking and hopefully hearing it in an inspiring way. But I also realized if I really want to take this to the next step, and our goal in our company is to increase the number of users.
Yes.
Not just expose people to the model,
right.
but really have people use it in their homes and their businesses. And so I thought, well, if I really want to increase the number of users and have this really be truly helpful to people, I have to create a way that they can practice and use it in their work setting. Because the thing is, even though work is really important to us, we do have some filters on at work, and we don't have as much emotion. We've got a lot of emotion attached to work, but not as much as we do at home.
Right.
And so I realized if I can get people to use this at work, then they will be able to use it at home and in their community.
Sure.
But work is where the critical mass number of people is and where we can show them how and where it'll have very immediate, measurable monetary results.
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense. Again, if you're just joining us, we've been having a great conversation here with my good friend and author, consultant, syndicated columnist, Lisa Earle McLeod, about her brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. And as we've been speaking specifically, you know, about her training programs and the consulting that she does, her company does, and speaking. If you go to Lisa's website, which is triangleoftruth.com, you can click on the button where it says consulting and training, and a lot of information about what Lisa's been talking about in terms of what she provides for organizations with this great model of the Triangle of Truth is there by clicking that button, as well as the speaking programs that she does. And, you know, we're going to take another break here, Lisa, when we come back. Let's even talk again more specifically about all of this in the work context as well as at home and how we can start to bring more peace to our conflicts. I know one of the principles in your book, the second one, is make peace with ambiguity, which is a big one. I want to learn more about that myself. So
yeah.
let's talk
about Mike's life.
Yeah, yeah, my anal nature of needing to be right and have everything organized and figured out. Can we talk about that a little bit after the break?
Let's dissect it all.
Okay, you're listening to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, here on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
We
please tune in to listen to Life Without Limitation with Mike Michaud. Explore stories of miracles, wellness, prosperity, and enlightenment through sound meditation and transformational thought processes. The show is inspired by and based on the teachings of spiritual leader Dattatreya Shiva Baba, the YouTube guru who inspired best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer to write Manifest Your Destiny. The show is hosted by Mike Michaud, a student of Dattatreya Shiva Baba who experienced miraculous recovery from HIV and AIDS over 7 years ago and survived a major heart procedure without anesthesia through meditations taught to him by Dattatreya Shiva Baba. Please visit our schedule page to learn when you can listen to Life Without Limitation with Mike Michaud. Thank you for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to support our uplifting shows that enlighten and entertain, and support our effort to help end suffering by donating 30% of our net profit, click on the advertisers with banners on our site. By advertising with us, they are contributing to our mission. You can help too, simply by shopping.
There, welcome back. You're listening, of course, to Let's Get Real here with me, Mike Robbins, on Energy Talk Radio. Hope you're enjoying our show. I know I am. We're having a great conversation with Lisa Earle McLeod, author of the brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. And Lisa, you know, before the break, we were talking about this work and this model and some of the consulting and work you do within organizations. Now, in terms of the second principle of The Triangle of Truth, making peace with ambiguity. And, you know, I appreciated reading that and seeing that. And I know for a lot of us, again, myself included, that can be challenging. So whether it's at work or at home, how does that apply and what does that provide us if we can actually make peace with ambiguity?
Well, it is a challenge. And, you know, make peace with ambiguity just means basically get comfortable with a little uncertainty.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. And the thing that's so interesting now at this time that we're in, I think we are more clear than ever that you can't script out your future.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people that thought they were safe in their companies. They thought their business was going to work. They thought they were safe in their, you know, they had all this savings. And that's not to say you can't make a plan. But when you get really attached to having things go a certain way, that is when you start to close your mind to alternatives.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that we all needed to be open to the alternative that our 401k would tank and our businesses would fail and we would get tired and maybe our spouse would leave us.
Yes.
But once that happens to you, you realize, wow, a lot of this world really is out of my control, isn't it now?
Yeah.
And one of the things that you'll see in people, and this is interesting because I can give you a couple different examples. We were talking about salespeople before the break. And in salespeople that go in convinced they have to close it today,
mm-hmm.
give off this oppositional energy.
Yeah.
But if they go in convinced that I probably have a way that I can sell to this person because I'm really confident in what I sell, but I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out, so let's see how it goes. So it's no less confident. In fact, it's more confident.
Right.
Because you're not attached to having it go a certain way, that we see the same thing in our interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
So when the one spouse or partner says, you know, we have to have dinner at 7 o'clock every single night. This is an example. We have to have dinner at 7 o'clock every night and you're late and we don't have it and they just go off the deep end because they're really attached to the idea that happy family means dinner at 7 every night.
Right.
But if they could calm down a little and say, you know, it really means a lot to me for us to eat dinner as a family together and spend that time every day as a touchstone,
yeah,
that's going to create a whole different energy than you have to be home, you know.
Right.
And it's this when we're so overly attached to our solution,
yeah,
that's when we give off this oppositional energy. But if we can put the pause on it, and again, it's not about giving things up, and I want to be really clear that the Triangle of Truth is not about compromising or watering down your core beliefs or your core truths or it's not about compromising on what you want to accomplish.
Right.
It's the opposite of that.
Hmm.
It is about accomplishing more and maximizing your ideas by combining them with someone else's, not by watering them down. But the more attached you are to having things have to go a certain way, the more likely it is that you won't be able to engage other people and you actually decrease your own power.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about it, when you go into a meeting, if you and I go into a meeting and I'm thinking, I have to have it go this way, this way, this way, and I need this and this for Mike, then I may get your buy-in. Maybe you may give me one or two things that I want, but I'm not going to generate a lot of creative energy between the two of us. But if I go in thinking, well, I'd like this and this to happen, and I want to try and truly connect with Mike and see what he's bringing to the party, and who knows where this will go.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's what I love what you're saying and what you've written about in The Triangle of Truth is that it's really about bringing a lot of what we know to be true in our personal and even our spiritual lives, if you will, into all the different interactions. And one of those places, I know for me in business and a lot of people listening in their businesses, in their workplaces, again, it's like sometimes we think we have to check that at the door,
mm-hmm.
and we get into that more oppositional as well as more attached mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know, at work because we want what we want. And it's, you know, it's that very sort of, you know, left brain masculine way of doing things.
Right.
And that doesn't work, especially not these days, right?
Well, the thing is, and I want to be really clear on this nuance here, is a lot of us, and as you can tell by my voice, I am a woman, but if you know my background, a lot of it's really that left brain, masculine, aggressive sales energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, one of the things, and I have done sales training for a lot of years, and one of the things that we often tell, and you'll often hear people say to people who are really high energy and aggressive, just calm down, be
yeah.
more patient, listen more. And that all sounds like be less you.
Yes.
And so that is really hard to hear. And so I realized I have to create a way to show people like that, like me, that
me.
How they can be really high energy and really aggressive and really proactive and combine their ideas with other people.
Yes.
And so one of the things that this model does that has been really worked for those type of people, like me, has been to really show them that if you're really proactive in finding out the truth on the other side, you will actually solve your problem faster or close the sale faster than when you don't. And that feels counterintuitive because it feels like, oh gosh, I don't have time to ask a lot of questions.
Right.
I don't have time to, let me just go in and say what I want and try and close it. Or let me just go home and tell my wife what I want and see if she'll just do it. But your success rate with that tends to be low.
Yes.
But if you can do it this way, you will not only increase your success rate, but you will increase the speed at which you accomplish it. And it's the difference in, going back to the sales example, the salesperson who tries to close, and then has to deal with all these obstacles
right.
versus the one that only has 15 minutes in the call, yet they spend 7 of it finding out what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So then in their remaining 7, they tee it up beautifully and close it.
Right.
That's the difference. And so it was really a challenge because all of us have been told that we need to be better listeners and kinder and gentler and all those things. And sometimes life just feels too short for that.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, I mean, I know, you know, and you already touched on a little bit earlier, the principle 3, hold space for others, you know, mm-hmm. for other perspectives. But I think what comes up, I know for me a lot of times, depending on the situation, how attached I am to it, it can be hard to hold space for other perspectives when I feel threatened.
Because why would I hold a space for a perspective that's going to mess me up?
Exactly.
I have a perfectly good plan that I wrote. Yeah, I even wrote it on this piece of paper before
yeah.
I came in.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and, I mean,
and nowhere on this plan is any of their opinion.
Exactly. So it does take some confidence. It sounds like it takes some faith. It takes, you know, but an ability mm-hmm. to, as you were talking about before, you know, empathize and understand in a genuine way, not in a cliched kind of way. Well, let's look at this in a very specific example or scenario, if you will, in the work that you do, particularly at work in organizations when companies hire you and bring you in and bring your company in, you know, what are some of the main conflicts or challenges, especially these days, that people are dealing with that by using this triangle of truth model, it can help alleviate that?
Well, I'll give you two examples. One example that just came up this week is we had a situation where two groups were merging with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally, I mean, these are all adults. Nobody's losing their job. But they're talking about, well, those people in that department.
Right.
And there's this real hesitancy. And so we could teach them all the nicey-nice interpersonal skills and all that, but there's still this sort of human tendency to respond with, you know, they operated on a different system, we're not sure, and yet the company has the goal of these two groups need to merge together and be productive fast.
Right.
I don't have time for them to, you know, Mickey Mouse around with figuring each other out. So the company's tendency would be to push it together, which, you know, how people respond so well to that.
Yes.
Yeah, we all love being told what to do.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we were able to do was this whole idea of my truth is on one side, your truth is on the other side, was to take them through a really quick workshop and really have each group identify sort of their truths.
Mm.
And then once you do that, it's like, oh, you all are just people that had a different business model, and you were doing it for very valid reasons, and now we just have to figure out best practices between the two of us. Oh, no big deal.
Hmm.
Versus this rubbing up against each other, rubbing up against each other.
Right.
The other thing that we've done that has been helpful to people, and I started doing this with myself first, and I do it with my kids, actually, when they get in a fight, because I have found I never realized that years as an executive coach would prepare me for the ultimate coaching experience called motherhood.
You mean your kids get in fights? What's going on over there?
Well, they're not as perfect as your kids.
Oh, yes, Mike. Yes. Well, our 4-year-old and 1.5-year-old haven't quite learned the art of that yet, but they're on their way, I'm sure.
Well, my kids are 5 years apart, and they don't really fight very often. But they fight in a more sophisticated way, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like if they're just punching each other, I'd know what to do. But so one of the things that I've done with them is what I do with some of these execs that I've coached and what I tell the execs to do. Because if you have ever run a company, which my husband and I ran this company for a while, and now we do have more of a consulting company, so it's more virtual. But you've got, you know, the guy from manufacturing coming in going, we need this, we need this. The guy from sales going, we can't take that long, we need it. And so you literally feel just like I feel my two kids come at me.
Mm.
And so one of the things that we do is we use this triangle. I mean, it's pretty easy to draw a triangle on a piece of paper.
Right.
It's not the most complex model in the world. And so we say, okay, you, manufacturing, or you, 17-year-old, what's your truth? You, on this side, what's yours? Get it down.
Right.
And then we say, we've got to work this out.
Mm-hmm.
So just literally help them see what's at the top of the triangle. And one of the things that that does for you as the boss or the parent is it puts you in a situation where you're teaching them how to solve their own problem and think more conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, again, manufacturing says, we have to have these drawings in 48 hours in advance before we can turn them around. And sales says, we have got to have them 24 hours. Well, we could just split the difference and say 36, but that's not going to work because we're both going to be annoyed at that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can sit them down and say, okay, what's the goal here in manufacturing? And the solution was 48 hours, but what's the real goal? Well, the real goal is I have to have time to assign someone to them, and then I have to make sure I can pull them off the line and do, you know, whatever it may be. Well,
right.
Sales, what's the real goal? I've got to get them in before the competitor does. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, everyone can see why we need to do that. Then that becomes where we start working out our plan, because
mm-hmm.
we're both in agreement as to the true truth.
Yes.
And so that just literally drawing that thing on a piece of paper. Now I have this dream that I'm going to take these little triangles up to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to go, okay, you, Republicans, and you, Democrats, you are going to sit down.
Yeah.
And we're going to draw this triangle, and you're going to tell me your truth. Not your solution, not all the reasons why the other guy is evil, but the real truth.
Yes.
And because that's the only way you can start solving the problem.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I think, you know, we're going to take one final break here. When we come back, I'd love to touch on, you know, the other three principles in the triangle of truth, as well as what you just brought up about politics, you know, how we can bring this, of course, to the workplace. And how does this relate as we're dealing with and looking at, you know, political issues in our own lives, as well as, you know, at a national and global level? and other ways this really impacts our life. Again, we're talking to my friend and author, syndicated columnist, business consultant, and speaker and trainer, Lisa Earle McLeod, about her brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. Go to triangleoftruth.com for more information about this great new book, as well as Lisa's speaking and consulting that her company provides. We're going to take one more break here and come back with more here on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Where are the dreams that we once had? This is the time to bring them back. What would the promise
say? Thank you for listening to Energy Talk Radio. Just by listening, you are part of our collaboration to rid the world of hunger, thirst, and poverty. Energy Talk Radio produces and broadcasts inspirational shows helping listeners on the road to personal growth to become a part of the global transformation towards a new golden age. Energy Talk Radio is at the forefront of innovation, engaging in a conscious business model of helping people in need, by directly supporting charities by donating 30% of their net profit to organizations that help eradicate hunger, educate children, and empower people, ending the cycle of extreme poverty and suffering. We hope you will join us in our endeavor, shifting consciousness while making a difference with fun and inspirational talk shows on EnergyTalkRadio.com.
Thanks for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to listen to any show on demand, please go to our shows page, find the program you're looking for, and click on the View All Shows button. There you can play any show on any device that plays MP3s. We hope you enjoy this convenient feature, knowing that you're making a difference just by listening.
Hey there, welcome back. This is Mike Robbins. You're listening to Let's Get Real here on Energy Talk Radio, and I'm digging, David. I'm digging the new music, man. We got some got some good Tom Petty in there. It's bringing me back to some good memories from anyway. That's a whole nother story, but we've been having a great conversation here today with Lisa Earle McLeod, the author of the brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. And again, you can go to triangleoftruth.com. And I really, this book is so full of great ideas and great information and great tangible takeaways that we can use in our life and specifically at work. And one of the things, as I was reading this book and looking at it, and I just think it's one of those things that, you know, if you work for an organization, a company of whatever size, get copies, not only for yourself, but for the people you work with, because this is one of those collective conversations we want to have. We're talking about being real, being honest, being open, and ultimately looking for real collaborative solutions in the model that Lisa presents in a really simple but profound way about what this triangle of truth is. So again, go to triangleoftruth.com and you can get copies of the book for you and people you work with, people in your life. And if you work for an organization where you think this would really benefit you, the people around you, the teams, you know, there's always conflict, there's always things, but bringing in Lisa and her company to, you know, present this model as well as bringing in Lisa to speak if you have events is a really great thing that you can do. So, Lisa, we were talking a little bit, you alluded to it right before the break about politics, and that's one of the things I find in my own life, and, you know, you brought up at the beginning of our conversation about the 2004 election. We've obviously gone through a pretty historic and dramatic election in 2008. And here we
are. Another polarizing election.
Yeah, I know. Amazing. And the thing that's amazing and you know, I find myself a little bit shocked and sad these days even separated from, it's hard to separate from my own political opinions and beliefs and ideas, but if we as a culture, we as a country, and I know a lot of people listening are from around the world as well, but find ourselves still in such a polarized place, even with this president who I believe at some deep level really does want to bring people together, what is that about, and how do we bring this model of the triangle of truth, and specifically your fourth principle, to seek higher ground when we're having conversations with friends who disagree with us politically? And then how do the politicians themselves at the highest level in Washington, really, how can they benefit from this? Hopefully, maybe some of them, who knows, maybe they secretly listen to Energy Talk Radio and they'll get some wisdom from you right here in this moment.
Well, for all the politicians listening, you know, it's interesting that you think about politics with that fourth principle of the book, Seek Higher Ground, because one of the examples I use there is Thomas Jefferson and John Adams.
Yep.
And I do say there aren't too many books where you can talk about your crazy in-laws and talk about sex and talk about Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. So I consider that a real selling point.
That's a big selling point. I love that.
Yeah. Got them all in there. But they're very interesting story of those two. Thomas Jefferson, great believer in freedom of thought. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, rather, real believer in the rule of law, and many suggest that Thomas Jefferson was the original liberal and John Adams was the original conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And they came together on the Declaration of Independence. What many people don't know is that John Adams actually asked Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence, saying, "You're a much better writer than I am," and that Thomas Jefferson then turned back to John Adams and said, "Well, you need to present it," because even though we think of Jefferson as eloquent, he wasn't a good speaker.
Really?
He's a great writer. John Adams was a much better speaker. But anyhow, so they came together on the Declaration of Independence, freedom of thought and rule of law, freedom and responsibility, and then collaborated on that. That obviously worked out pretty well for them.
I think so.
Then they actually were political enemies for the next 50 years. But the thing that they came to realize at the end of their lives, they both died on July 4th, exactly 50 years to the day after the founding of the country.
Amazing.
Which you can't make this stuff up.
I love that story, by
the way. Isn't it that story? Yeah. And one of the things that you see is that they're coming together with different ideas in a very short period of time when the Declaration of Independence made the country great. But their bickering over the following 50 years also made the country great.
Yes.
And for me, that was just a profound lesson in, you know, the people who disagree with you politically are actually making you better.
Wow.
They are really making you better. And if you can appreciate it, now, Jefferson and Adams did not appreciate each other for about a 45-year period until when they were older. Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was known for his thoughts on peace, actually got them to reconnect via letters. But the conflicting perspectives don't make your life easier, but they actually make the country better. But one of the things that we do, that we very, very mistakenly do, is we attribute bad intent.
Yes.
And because surely, if you are opposed to universal health care, you would let small children rot in the street with smallpox as you cackled your way to the bank to put your big bonus check in. Because if you oppose health care, that must be what you're thinking.
Right.
Or if you are for universal health care, then you are going to go into every rich person's house in America and steal their hard-earned money and roll it into joints and pass it out on the street corners.
Well, that's what we do out here in San Francisco, but don't tell anybody.
Right. But you know, it's just the...
Yeah, I hear
if you.
If
you think this,
right,
then I have a full and complete understanding of your moral code of ethics,
right,
and I find it failing.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, that relates, of course, to your fifth principle in terms of discerning truth. I mean, discerning intent, I'm sorry, as it relates to, you know, what's the real truth?
What's
behind
the real truth? And in a lot of cases, there are a lot of people, and I have, you know, my own thoughts on these things, and I tend to approach politics from my sort of leading thought is always as a mother.
Right.
And what am I doing to making the world a better place for my children and for, and very, very importantly to me, for other people's children?
Right.
because that's who my children are going to interact with. So even if I look at it from an altruistic or a selfish point of view, either way, I'm better off making the world a better place for other people's children. But the thing is, I'm so attached to that idea that anytime I hear anything that feels like it might threaten that, all my little filters go up and I think that people don't care and I think this. But if I was calmer, I would realize that I need people that are attached to the idea of fiscal responsibility.
Yes.
I need people that are attached to the idea of building a strong defense.
Mm-hmm.
I need those people. And just because that's their most important priority and it doesn't align with my most important priority, the things that they want may be 3, 4, or 5 on my list.
Yeah.
But what happens is if I feel like they're threatening what's number one on my list,
right,
I go off the deep end and I accuse them of all sorts of treachery.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds to me as I'm hearing you talk about it, and this is something I'm taking away from the Triangle of Truth, is that it really is about shifting our relationship to conflict, that it's not this universally bad thing. In fact, as you're talking about in so many examples in your book and we've talked about here, something bigger, something greater, something more important than my idea and my perspective, your idea and your perspective can come out if we actually engage in it and are willing to, as opposed to I'm going to stand over here with my people and talk about how crazy you are. And again, that's whether we're at work or we're at home or we're at the political gathering or church or wherever we happen to be, right?
Well, because the thing is, if we all are talking with all the people who agree with us, we're going to continue to get the same thing and the same results. And one of the things I often ask when I speak to groups, especially in business, is I ask all the women in the room who have ever learned from men to please raise their hand. And how many of us, and I can speak for myself, learned a lot of stereotypical male traits like claim your space, speak boldly, you know, go in and take charge. I mean, I learned that from a lot of men early in my career. And then I asked the men in the room, you know, how many of you learned some skills from women? These are stereotypical traits, but how many men learned how to be more empathetic, how to see the other person's perspective, how to be more compassionate? Those are skills we associate with the feminine, and men were often taught those by women.
Yep.
And when I learned how to hold my space and speak up for myself, and when you maybe learned to be a little more compassionate, that didn't in no way diminished my female characteristics or your male characteristics. It was an and.
Yes.
It wasn't an either or. It was an and.
Yeah.
So I ask people to raise their hand. Everybody raise their hand. And then I usually ask, how many of you enjoyed the process of learning that?
Yes, and that's a different question.
It's a completely different question.
Yeah.
Because then what happens is we go, right, in many ways, depending on who your, quote, teachers were, you might have felt attacked or belittled or be more like me. Why are you being so much like you? But if we could just kind of get over ourselves on both ends and say, okay, you're compassionate, you're sweet, you're loving, you're kind, and I'm now going to teach you how to take charge of a room and not see it as diminishing the other. And so that's just a really obvious example that if you look at our, especially in the last 50 years, of how much men and women have both added to their skill repertoire and adopted skills of the opposite sex, and we're all better for it.
Yeah.
The same thing applies to every other set of ideas.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Lisa, thank you. It's amazing how quickly this hour went by in our conversation here. I so appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talk about the Triangle of Truth and how it applies to business and all the other aspects of our lives. Again, we've been talking to my friend and author, business consultant and trainer, Lisa Earle McLeod, about her brand new book, The Triangle of Truth. And if you haven't already, make sure to visit triangleoftruth.com, her website, where you can obviously pick up copies of the new book for yourself, for people you work with, for people in your family. This really is, as I've said already, a collective conversation we want to be having with the people around us so we can look for those collaborative, you know, synergistic solutions that aren't about compromise, that aren't about selling out, but really are about adding to, as Lisa's been talking about. And in addition, for those of you who work for organizations, companies, and as we've been having this conversation, if it's really resonated with you, definitely go to triangleoftruth.com and click on the consulting training button or the speaking button and find out more about the programs that Lisa offers and bring her into your organization, because this conversation is so important. So, Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's always great to talk with you.
Absolutely. I'm grateful we're friends, and I'm grateful you're doing what you're doing. And for everybody listening, as always, thanks for tuning in. It's an honor and a privilege to get to talk to you and bring great people to you like Lisa Earl McLeod every time we're here. And we'll see you again soon here on Energy Talk Radio. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. For more information about Mike's work, his seminars, and his best-selling books, please visit www.mike-robbins.com.